hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
When the door is locked, there's no way out.
And now back in making his 10th appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate, his former Chiefs and Falcons wide receiver and TNT guest Hall of Famer, J.J. Burton. And J.J. has been a great positive voice and an influence here on the show since he first joined us all the way back in August of 2013. He's written a wonderful book titled When Opportunity Knocks, 8 Surefire Ways to Take Advantage. And one of the many great points that J.J. makes in the book is that success and happiness don't come to those who wait. J.J. played his college ball at Oregon, where he excelled in both football and track, and so much so on the track and field side that he qualified for the 1988 U.S. Olympic trials, played in the NFL from 1988 to 1996 for the Browns, Cowboys, Chiefs, and Falcons. And over the course of his NFL career, he had 244 receptions for just under 3,500 yards and 17 touchdowns. And we're excited he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, JJ, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks. Hi, JJ.
What's up, Chris? Bob, how are you guys doing?
Doing great.
We're fantastic. JJ, how have you been, my friend?
I've been doing good, guys. And, you know, I can't believe it hasn't been 10 times I've been a guest on your show.
Yes. A nice round number tonight. Nice round 10. We can't thank you enough.
I like that. Because, guys, my Hall of Fame bat is right there next to my desk. It doesn't go anywhere.
There you go.
That's great.
There you go. So, JJ, I want to start our time with you tonight by getting your thoughts on the Chiefs so far this season. Boy, it looked like an offense that was tailor-made for a guy just like you. How much are you liking watching them? And do you wish you maybe had been born about 20 years later and you got an opportunity to play now?
Yeah, I'm very impressed with the Chiefs. It's really nice to see what they put together because obviously – they've had some successful years. They just haven't really been able to get over the hump and really show the dominance that they are now. It's great to watch one Patrick Mahomes. How cool was it for him last year to sit on a bench, learn from a veteran quarterback and not have to play, not have to worry about the pressure of performing, and now really get to show this year what he learned just by watching Alex. I think that's just invaluable. And then all the weapons, guys, I mean, all the weapons they have on the offense. The defense is starting to step it up a bit. So, you know, I really like where we are, guys. I really like where we're positioned right now.
So, JJ, when you look at everything the Chiefs have, right, in the past, over the last few years, what we've seen from the Chiefs is, you know, they sprint out to a 5-0 start, something along those lines, and then they sort of crawl their way home. It doesn't appear like that's going to happen this year. So they're either going to finish 1 or 2. Right now, they're obviously the number one seed in the AFC. They're going to get a bye, it appears, and everything seems to be going their way. Is this a team that can win a Super Bowl?
You know, guys, early in the year, I would say I wasn't sure, but now I truly believe they could. Let me tell you why. The difference that I see in this team that I've seen in the previous teams of, you know, any Reid teams as he's leading the Chiefs is that these guys have more fight in them than the previous teams. And what I mean is that if you take, for instance, the games that have been close, like the Rams and I can't remember who else they lost to, but those games, when the opponent scored, the Chiefs came back and scored. As the opponent scored, they came back and just went back and forth. And you didn't see that in the past with some of these teams. As opponents got the lead, they would kind of separate from the Chiefs. But this time, you know, you got a team that's hungry, they're fighters, and they never quit. And I think that's really the edge that this team has and why I think they have the ability to go all the way. I mean, and the X factor, I think, is really the defense. And the defense is slowly but surely getting better. And I think they will have matured enough as we get into the playoffs.
And JJ, as I say, this is, you know, seems like an offense tailor-made for a guy like you. And I think they have a guy like you in Tyreek Hill. I look at Tyreek Hill and I think that's JJ Burton just 20 years later. I mean, do you see the similarities between you and Tyreek?
Well, I mean, to answer your first question, yeah, I would have loved to have been in an offense like this. Obviously, the game has changed a little bit since I played in the 90s. But I mean, when I look at Tyreek, I mean, obviously I see a smaller receiver. So there's the similarities. Obviously, a little guy out there making big plays and, you know, and showing that he can hang with the big boys. But I think the difference that the edge that Tyreek has over me is, I think, one, his size. I was 5'10", 157. You know, Tyreek is a lot thicker. He's more solid. He has a much more solid foundation than I had. And quite frankly, guys, I ran a 4.3. Tyreek runs a 4.2. I didn't run a 4.2. So he's actually faster than me, too. But I'm just impressed as he's continuing to get better and better, because when he had that first breakout season, I thought, okay, that's great. But how's his sophomore year going to be? Then he got better. I'm like, okay, that's great. How's he going to be this year? He's continued to improve, and that's what I hope, that he continues to perfect his craft. He continues to really master with a wide receiver position. And if he can stay healthy, I mean, he could rewrite all the wide receiver records for the Chiefs.
Five questions for JJ.
It's always a pleasure to have you on, JJ, and happy holidays to you and your family. I want to ask you, JJ, we talked to Eddie Kennison a few weeks ago, and I kind of brought up, again, another track kind of guy, and we talked at length about track guys, and then it becomes a totally different thing for a lot of track guys when they have to put on pads. Some guys handle it better than others, JJ. Talk a bit about that, what it's like, and how some guys handle it better than others as far as slowing them down and trying to maintain track speed.
That's a really good point, Bob, because it's something that not all people really truly realize. Obviously, when you have track guys and they have great, flat out speed, and if you have those track guys who have the ability to catch the ball and play the wide receiver position, there is a transition when you put on those pads. I mean, one day, guys, I actually weighed myself with my pads on, and I went from 157 to like 180. So imagine, I'm carrying an extra 23 pounds running down the field. And I tell you, my first year with the Browns, I remember they put me in these big shoulder pads and they were heavy. And I just thought I was very sluggish that first year. And when I got to the Chiefs, I remember asking Alan Wright and Mike Davis, the equipment manager, I said, hey guys, can you give me some of those little bitty pads like the kickers wear? And they switched over my pads, and I had these very tiny pads. And I tell you, it did a lot for me psychologically, because I felt faster. I felt that I wasn't, dragging as much. And I felt I could really, truly show my track speed on the football field. But it's a good point, Bob, because I'll tell you, I saw track guys come in, and they might have ran 4.2, 4.1, 4.3. But when they got in the game, they played at 4.5 or 4.6. You know, not all fast guys know how to play fast. I mean, how to run your route fast and really create that separation from the defensive back. And you can tell the guys that can't, but the ones that can, let me tell you, they can get that speed going and they can keep that speed. And that really gives them the edge when they're playing the game.
JJ, I always like to talk to guys like yourself and ask them about some former teammates, because there's no better source of ex-teammates talking right from the guys that played along with them. We can make our opinions about guys, but until we get guys that play with them, I want to talk to you about one guy that I always had a lot of respect for, Steve DeBerg. He had some very tough years in Tampa Bay. He was the quarterback when you arrived in Kansas City in 1990. I know you caught some passes from him. If you look at his lifetime numbers, they're very good, JJ, for a guy that played for some, flat-out not-so-good teams. But that 1990 year, he was amazingly good. Talk about him as a thrower of the football and as a teammate.
Yeah, that was an exciting year. That was kind of my first year with the Chiefs, where I really started establishing myself as a football player. And I was privileged to play with Steve Berg, who was the master of the play action. I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback work the play action like him, where he literally would put the ball and the running backs, gut and hold it there to the last second and pull it out. And as a result, we made many big plays because of his technique. But he was very accurate with his throwing ability. But the thing that really stood out the most to me about Steve DeBerg was he was a warrior. I mean, he was a warrior. I would see him just get clobbered and just get banged up. And he'd get up and he'd come right back and he'd be out there doing his job. And it reminds me of the time when he broke his pinky. He broke his pinky and he had like a pin in the middle of his pinky and he had this cast on. And I'll never forget it, because we're sitting in the huddle,
yes,
and he's giving us the play, and I'm looking at his finger, and I'm like, how in the world is that guy playing? But nothing would stop him from doing his job. And when you've got a leader like that who's willing to make those sacrifices, it just kind of encourage you to do more and give more and be more as well. So enjoyed my time playing with Steve the Bird.
It's funny you mentioned that that cast, JJ. I was just I was talking to my son about it this weekend as we were watching the Steelers game, and TJ Watt going off the field holding his hand. He was trying to punch the ball out and hurt his hand, I was worried that he had broken his hand. And I said, you know, hey, I remember, you know, several years ago, Steve DeBerg, and the cast that he had was sort of curved. It was sort of like a hook. So then, you know, the ball fit in his hand just nice, and he could spin it out. And that was a great memory.
Not a lot of guys can play under those conditions. Not a lot of guys can really play with that type of pain and discomfort. But that's why I called Steve a warrior. You know, mentally, he didn't care. He was strong enough to still get out there and do it. So was definitely impressed with him.
JJ, want to get your thoughts on your alma mater, your Oregon Ducks. They finished the regular season 8-4, had some big wins this year against Cal and Washington. They took some positive steps after finishing 7-6 last season, way better than they were a couple of years ago when they were 4-8. So how do you feel about where the program is headed?
You said it right. Positive steps. They've taken some positive steps. When you think about what's happening to them over the last 3 years, I believe they've had three different head coaching changes. And as you guys probably know, that's going to rattle any team as you continue to hear a new coach, a new voice, a new leader, a new philosophy. So it was nice to see they hired in-house. Mario Cristobal is, you know, he's taken over the program. And you definitely saw, again, some indications that they're moving in the right direction. You know, we got a young group in there, and it's going to take some time to really get that program to the point where we're battling for, you know, national championships. But I like where we are, and I love the recruiting that these guys are doing. I guess the million-dollar question, guys, is Herbert, is he going to stay or is he going to go? And
right.
My prediction, guys, I think he's going to stay. I really do. And the word I keep getting out of Eugene, you know, the kid is from Eugene. He grew up in Eugene. He's always wanted to play for the Ducks. His brother's going to be playing for the Ducks. And, you know, I don't think he had a great second half of the season. So I think he's going to stay. I think he plays out his senior year.
JJ, just one more before we let you go. And you're a wonderful speaker. And I know this morning you gave a keynote speech and perhaps your last one for this year and looking ahead to next. But when you're speaking to a company, what's one thing you want to be sure that your audience walks away with when you're done?
Oh, that's a great question, guys. I mean, the keynote I gave today was titled Seize Your Opportunities. And it's really helping companies understand the opportunity that they have in their businesses and how they can impact so many different lives. But one of the things I focused on today, and it was something I ended up posting today, and I talked about how you want to get in the habit of creating your opportunity. You know, don't wait for that call to just suddenly, you know, show up, or that business meeting to just fall on your lap. You got to create the opportunity. And sometimes the opportunity may not present itself, so you have to be a bit creative. And I shared with them the story of how I went to University of Oregon on a track scholarship, as you mentioned earlier, and they didn't recruit me at football. So my second year, I went and asked Rich Brooks, the head coach, if I could walk on. And he finally said, okay. And I tried out and made the team. But guys, I played 9 years in the NFL. Not because Oregon asked me to try out. I had to beg them for the opportunity. I created that opportunity, and look what happened. So that's the thing I try to help companies understand. The power is in your hands. Nobody's going to give it to you. You got to go create the opportunity and willing to make the commitment and do the work necessary to achieve it.
JJ, let our listeners know how they can stay up to date with all the great things you're doing, and the companies that might be out there listening that need a speaker, how can they get in touch with you and follow you on social media?
Yeah, guys, my hub is basically jjburden.com. You go there, you'll learn all about me as far as a speaker and be able to connect with me through social media. I'm all over social media. I love interacting with the fans and just anyone out there that just, you know, wants some inspiration. So look for JJ Burden all over social media. And again, you know, I appreciate the opportunity, Chris and Bob. Love what you guys are doing. And just, again, just keep up the good work.
Thank you.
We appreciate you, JJ. always a pleasure for us to get to spend some time with you. Hopefully we get the opportunity to have you back on the show before too long. But in between now and then, happy holidays to you and your family, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Good night.
See you, JJ. That is former Oregon Ducks and Kansas City Chiefs and Atlanta Falcons wide receiver JJ Burden. And Bob, it's very easy to see, as you talked about earlier in the show, and we may have a theme going here, is how positive and how enthusiastic guys are, and you can hear it in their voices, and JJ is certainly a guy at the top of that list.
Yeah, it's such a powerful impact, Chris. Like you said, he was 5'9". He's listed at 170. He was lower than that. And for him to play like he did in the NFL, that's an inspiration to a lot of people. And you and I know him personally. He's an incredibly bright, energetic guy who has done a lot off the field, too.
All right, we've got our next guest, Paul Alexander, hanging on the line. Going to get to Paul on the other side of this quick station break.